Good morning and welcome. It is 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the third hour of our get-together on this Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Florence Recycling. And we've got a lot to talk about. Fox News reporting that they're looking at maybe 4 days after the actual election day for them to name a winner. I mean, they're just projecting this, but they're projecting it already. So, yeah.
That's an eternity.
Yeah, we'll talk about that further. But right now, we've got Chad Johnson right here in the studios. And good morning, Chad. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
I'm glad you're speaking slowly. I know you're also an auctioneer, and I was afraid you were just going to come in and I wouldn't be able to keep up with it.
No, we'll do our best.
So it's Chad Johnson. You are going for the state rep seat that Chuck Clemons has to vacate.
That's correct. It's state representative. It's District 22. It encompasses all of Gilchrist and all of Levy County, and then kind of pie shapes into Alachua County through Archer up to Tower Road. And then on the Newberry side comes Newberry to Jonesville, and then all the way to the University of Florida. Picks up both health institutions, HCA and Shands, and so as well as both of our college institutions, the University of Florida and Santa Fe College.
Well, I got to tell you, you have a who's who, an all-star lineup, murderer's row, whatever you want to call it, of folks that are backing you up, including Chuck Clemons, the Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, who we have on a regular basis. Love that guy. Dennis Baxley, I mean, that guy is rock-solid conservative. You've got Stan McLean. We had him in the studio not too long ago. We love him, too. Bobby Schultz, I mean, you got it going on.
Well, we were blessed. Bobby Schultz was really one of the first ones to get behind me. I've known Chuck Clemons since I was a college student at Florida, and so long-term friendship, mentorship there. Had no idea that we were going to run, didn't anticipate running, but there was just no one that surfaced as a candidate that understood both the rural communities and fiscally constrained counties such as Gilchrist and Levy that also had an understanding of Gainesville. I mean, I grew up in Gainesville, went to school here in Alachua County, and then graduated from the University of Florida with a degree in food and resource economics. So, and then moved to Levy County where we've lived for the last 30 years. And so I have been in this district my entire life.
Well, that's interesting. My daughter got her first degree, food and resource economics, from University of Florida. She loved the IFAS folks, loved it, but she thought she should continue her education. Anyway, she got her master's. Anyway, she's now a PA, all through University of Florida.
But started through food and resource economics.
And I had, she graduated three times from UF. So
we're blessed in this area with great secondary educational institutions, and I will work to continue to make sure that those universities and the colleges are funded, and that we've got a curriculum base that are helping prepare students for the workforce in the future.
What have you done for a living? What is your life experience that leads you up to, want to be a servant of the people and help us out here?
So I've always been in ag sales, sold livestock pharmaceuticals for the longest time of my career. Also an auctioneer. Do a lot of the premium purebred livestock sales throughout the Southeast, as well as have a real estate license that we dabble in real estate here and there. And so my wife is a former school teacher in Levy County, and I've joked and said that, my ADHD kicked in long before there was all these new drugs. And so I've always just been super busy and loved exploring different opportunities. And that's kind of been our career. I was appointed as a county commissioner back in 2009 and then served those 2 years and then an additional 4 years as a county commissioner in Levy County. That was right after the real estate bust. And so drawing in the county to make sure that we remain solvent when those ad valorem coffers exploded and all of a sudden the county took in so much money, we do like all governments do, and we spend what we bring
right.
And then when they started to collapse, I was there to basically try and help us get back to being solvent, get our spending under control. And so it's a great experience. We've been out of politics for 10 years, hadn't necessarily missed it. But again, when this seat was opened up due to term limits, there was just no one that we felt understood both the west side of this district that could also do a good job representing the people in Gainesville as well.
So what about, tell me about your family a little bit.
So again, my wife is Angela Quincy. We've been just celebrated September 24th was 30 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Four kids. They are scattered out from Tennessee to still in Chiefland, Ocala, and Wauchula. My daughter is the baby, and I guess it's okay to say on the radio, we've got our first grandbaby coming. So we are pumped. We're excited at our house. Just really blessed. My wife comes from a great family there in Levy County. They've been there since the late 1800s. And so I tell everybody, we live in what I think is the greatest part of the state as well as the country. Part of the challenge is everybody realizes how great it is, but they want to control growth. And I understand that, but at the same time, you can't stop growth. People are going to come to Florida for a lot of reasons.
You try to channel the growth.
Absolutely.
You try to lay it out that it's going to make sense, and that so the people that lived there for many years are still going to have a great quality of life. It is it's a balancing act.
It is.
For sure. And so your youngest daughter is kind of carrying the mantle from you in the ag world.
Absolutely. Madeline's married into the Carlton family, historic ranching family, and in fact what would be her great great grandfather-in-law was actually Governor Carlton back in the late 20s.
Wow.
And so better than the last name, she is married to a guy that is crazy about her. And you guys, you know, if you have a daughter, at the end of the day, no matter what, that's what you want is a young man that's crazy about it. And so that's a good feeling for a dad.
Yep. Well, new grandpa myself, so I can totally relate. And there is nothing like it. And I know you've got a lot of fun ahead of you. And you're also our new connection for ivermectin, right? I knew you were in ag sales and you had dealt with the pharmaceutical
wow.
side. And that's kind of an ongoing thing with us, the whole COVID thing and the controversy surrounding that.
Can certainly understand that.
Right. All right. So you're also a Second Amendment guy, and we really like that. Greg was telling me, because he's talked to you before, that you're an A, right? A or A plus?
Well, so before you have a voting record, the NRA does not give you a quote-unquote rating. They just give you a favorable based on your questionnaire. But the NRA is very I shouldn't say controlling, but very cautious about giving their ratings,
right.
And to the point where they don't give them until you have a voting record to stand on.
I think they've been abused in the past. There would be some, just for simple terms, you know, left of center folks that, you know, want to be able to say that because they know, especially if you're in a rural area, that's a big one for a lot of folks, but they didn't stand behind it. And but we know you're a guy that's going to stand behind it. And let me ask you this. If you get to Tallahassee, you think there's a chance that maybe this open carry thing could finally get out and maybe get a full vote?
It'll be interesting to see where that goes. As far as where I stand based on my principles, I can remember being in high school and having a gun in the vehicle, and everybody on the radio is going to be shocked, unless, of course, they're older than 45, 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was not an issue. We didn't have gun problems then. We had, you know, and we don't have, in my opinion, we have people problem. And so that, for me, gun and gun safety and having a firearm is the Second Amendment. Our founding fathers thought enough of it that they placed it second on the Bill of Rights to make sure that we are allowed to arm ourselves to protect ourselves from anything. So, and that's where I'm at. And if the legislature seems to be going in a different direction, then it will be up to me to go to them early on and just say, hey, I can't get behind this, or I can get behind this based on my principles.
Yeah. We're just trying to have some accountability because, you know, they've fallen short in the past. You get conservative Republicans that, you know, do the, yeah, we're all Second Amendment. Then when it comes time for something like the open carry, they get a little squishy. And we hope that's not the case with you.
No. Nope.
All right. Chad Johnson, this is District 22. And we wish you the best. And if you want to find out more, Johnson for Florida, and it's F-O-R, spelled out, johnsonforflorida.com. Com, and they can get more information there.
Absolutely. We're on Facebook, so appreciate and just encourage everyone to vote. I realize we may say Trump's going to win, but we all win on the down ticket if everyone gets out there and votes. So make sure you get out there either early voting, which has already started, or November 5th. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Well said. Don't need to add anything to that. Keep listening to 97.3 The Sky. Hang on. Man, I can't wait till January 20th and Trump starts rounding up, you know, all these bad people, all the people that work at MSNBC and all the bad politicians.
Oh, the bad comedians and the late night TV hosts.
Yeah.
They're gonna
put them all behind bars.
Oh, yeah, that's what's going to happen because he did it. He did it for 4 years before. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, wait, no, he actually didn't.
He ignored them, didn't he?
You know what? There's a really good chance that this could be another one of those lies from the left.
Yeah, but we know how many of them are going to leave the country in fear if he wins, because they all left.
No, not so much. They actually didn't.
They didn't leave.
There were plenty that were, you know, there were plane tickets and everything else that were purchased on their behalf.
Oh, I know a lot of people.
Because we were
going
to be happy to see.
Yes, absolutely.
No, the reason I bring that up is because Democratic strategist James the Raging Cajun Carville was on MSNBC's The Beat with the host, Ari Melber. Carville said, Trump goes out and he says, I'm going to use the military to arrest my political enemies. And then Mike Johnson's and Lindsey Graham and the Wall Street Journal editorial pages say, oh, no, that's not what he meant. And then he comes back and he says, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. You know what will happen. You pointed it out. If he wins, he will say, I told people I was going to do this. I have the legitimacy of the election behind me. And he will have a point.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Wow.
I mean, Carville is, he's always been
over the top.
Yeah.
To put it nicely?
That's a good way to put it. I just want to know, when exactly did he say that he was going to use the military to arrest political enemies? Again, this is a lie of the left. And again, this comes out of the Karl Marx playbook. You call your enemy what you are. You claim your enemy is doing or is going to do what you plan to do. And it follows suit. Think about it. Think about every lie that has been told about Trump. I mean, some that are general and some that are pointed. It is frightening because they're really not talking about him. They're talking about themselves. They want an authoritarian government. How do you know that? Because they're already doing everything they can to shut down the First Amendment and freedom of speech. They don't want debate.
But didn't they say, though, that he was going to use the DOJ to basically punish them? And oh, but wait a minute. They've been doing that already.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They're talking about things because, see, it is in their playbook.
It is.
They can say these things because they know that, given the opportunity, it is what they'll do. And, in fact, it has been what they've done. They've used the judicial system to do everything they can to try to knock him down. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Let's go to Shep. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, am I wrong in maybe my memory is fading? You know, I just turned 64. But didn't Hillary Clinton say that Trump supporters should be sent to re-education facilities?
Yes.
Did I miss that? Didn't she actually say that?
I believe so. I think it's around the same time she called them all deplorables.
Yeah.
Yeah, basket of deplorables. The other thing is, I want to let people know, again, growing up in New York, the area of Brighton Beach, we called it Little Moscow because a lot of Soviet Union escapees settled there. One of the things that I've read about, one of the things that I was told as a child, that in the old Soviet Union, if you voiced opposition to the Communist Party or to communism in general, you were sent for psychiatric evaluation. Why? If you don't appreciate communism, if you don't want equality for all, if if you believe in capitalism, there must be something wrong with you. Therefore, we're going to send you for psychiatric evaluation because hey, a society without classes is the way to go. Never mind the fact that Soviet officials are chauffeured around in these big Zeal limousines. If you don't know what a Zeal limousine is, you know, just get on DuckDuckGo. I don't use Google. Get on DuckDuckGo. And I've often asked, if it is a society without classes, why did they build these big luxury limousines like the Zeal or the big luxury cars like the Chaika? If you don't know what a Chaika is, Google it, or excuse me, DuckDuckGo it. They built luxury cars. So again, if this is a society without classes, why did they build luxury cars? Thank you very much, gentlemen. See you later.
Yeah, it just seems like everywhere elsewhere, you know, communism and socialism has been, you know, attempted. It has not turned out well. Turned out very, very bad for many people, and it just turned out reasonably bad for millions more. You know, what was the famous statement? Something like, yeah, they tell you that socialism is going to, you know, split up the piece of the pie evenly.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't tell you is the pie is going to shrink long before that. And then the other thing was, is they think that socialism spreads out the wealth, and all it manages to do is to spread out misery.
Yeah.
And that's history.
Equal opportunity, spreader of misery.
The people in charge are always going to do. They're going to take care of themselves,
sure,
regardless of what they espouse.
Yeah.
The LPGA clears a trans golfer to compete, even though there was a letter of concern that were signed by 275 female golfers.
Wow.
Apparently, the LPGA just doesn't really get it, do they?
There's something missing there.
Yeah. Well, and we'll look into it, and we'll have details on that and a whole lot more coming your way right here on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. We've made it to Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 8:35. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Hey, this is a story. I was going to Biketoberfest, and I heard something about it yesterday. I go, did I kind of miss this? They're not giving this as much attention as I think it deserves, but I'm going to do my homework on it. I saw this in the New York Post. The editorial board wrote this piece. This is critically important. Apparently, there was leaked intel that had to do with Israel's Iran strike plans. Now, this is important for several different reasons, but the question's asked, how the heck did top secret U.S. intel on Israel's military plans wind up on a pro-Iranian Telegram channel? Whether it was incompetence or hostile espionage or an international leak, it was a blow to U.S. ally caught in a multi-front war. With President Biden, Veep Kamala Harris, and the rest of their administration constantly carping about Israel's tactics. Look, countries spy on their friends all the time, but sabotaging them is another matter. So the leaks apparently include two top secret reports by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. And this has to do with Israel's plans to retaliate against Iran using, against Iran's missile attack. They detail the aircraft and munitions to be deployed. Also, military exercises that appear to be training for the strike. Now, the reports don't flag potential targets or definitively predict the scale and the scope of the strike. But it's not clear how much actually was leaked. Because that's what was made public. Some of this could have ended up directly in Tehran's hands. And listen, things happen, yeah. But do they happen in an administration that also just happens to be not in favor of Israel defending itself, at least not to the degree and appropriateness that Netanyahu and others feel like it should be? And the New York Post editorial board goes on to say, it's near certain the leaks came from somewhere in the administration. meaning the American administration. Hmm. This top secret info originated at a U.S. intel agency and looks to be nothing that would legitimately be shared outside of our government. So it's not like it got intercepted, sure, per se, right?
But we've got a government that isn't always the most supportive of our strongest ally in the Middle East.
And we also, as I have warned many times, I believe we have an intel community that is out of control.
Oh, yeah.
Out of control.
Absolutely.
I think that they were very well the big force behind January 6th. Mm-hmm. I truly believe it was, really their operation for the most part. But at least one top Harris-Biden official now suspended Iran special envoy Robert Malley is thought to have stored classified material on his personal email account and cell phone, where it was later accessed by a hostile cyber actor. In other words, this wouldn't be precedent setting per se for the Biden-Harris administration. Plus, this guy Malley had ties to a pro-Iran group, the Iran Experts Initiative, some of whose affiliates, such as Arian Tabadabi, continue to work in top posts where they might have access to classified documents. And anyone in this administration might leak, thinking it would help Harris and Biden and their goals. Because after all, I mean, this White House publicly has been fretting about Israel's response, etc. So this is very, very much should be very concerning to people. And Harris and Biden themselves have held up weapons shipments, ordered Israel not to go into Rafah, remember, where it thankfully eliminated October 7th mastermind, Yahya Sinwar.
Yeah.
Right? That
don't,
was
don't go there, I think Joe put it.
Yeah, don't go. Or don't or whatever.
Don't. Yeah, like they're going to listen to him. Come on. Really?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken just again threatened to cut off military aid.
Wow.
Kamala Harris called a heckler's claim that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians real. Did you see that clip, Greg?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, this guy was like, it appeared almost like walking through maybe some sort of an event or whatever, but he yelled loud enough for everybody to hear that, you know, Israel's committing genocide, and, you know, it was kind of a very nasty tone as he was kind of moving through there. And Kamala actually stopped and said, yeah, he's right.
Damn.
Or that's real, something along those lines. The White House has already been complaining about Jerusalem's failure to share its war plans, but this scandal should guarantee the Harris-Biden folks learn even less. If you were Netanyahu, would you want to be sharing information with this American administration? We're supposed to be allies.
Yeah,
but we haven't held up our end of the deal under Biden and Harris. However the leaks happened, Israel doesn't dare share sensitive information with Washington now.
No.
And probably won't until this entire current administration is gone.
I wouldn't trust
which them. We hope and pray January 20th will be that day. Got to get out and vote. Early voting is open everywhere. I was chomping at the bit so much after telling everybody to go vote. I tried to go vote.
Yeah.
But I'm in Clay County, and they actually don't start it until today. And I'm like, what?
Whoops.
It's like almost the whole rest of the state pretty much was on board starting it on Monday.
You had a practice run.
I don't know what the reasoning could be behind it, but I've never had difficulty or issues voting there at all. And it's just a little different feel than when I used to vote, you know, in Alachua County.
Oh, my goodness.
Just a little.
The aura of
it's
the room.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
The people, yes.
Yeah.
It is different.
And we could probably leave it at that.
Yeah, I think people are smart enough to know what we're saying.
I mentioned this before the break about the LPGA. They're going to let a trans golfer in, even though 275 women golfers sent a letter to the LPGA saying, please don't do that.
So will they be the TPGA?
The trans?
I'm just asking.
Well, listen, here's the deal. And I thought that they explained it very, very well, the golfers, the women who are not for it.
Right.
Now, there was a letter dated August 19th from the International Golf Federation. And they said this guy, Haley Davidson, that's her name, Haley Davidson, was still allowed to compete under the new policies that say a biological man can compete with biological women if they have transitioned surgically and meet hormone therapy requirements.
Hmm.
All right. But here's the thing, and they pointed this out in the letter. They took their time to write this. They said the letter pointed out that hormonal deficiencies and gender surgery are not enough to erase a biological male's advantage over a woman. We all know there can be no equal athletic opportunity for women without a separate female golf category. Yet the LPGA continues to propagate a policy that allows male athletes to qualify, compete, and win in women's golf, even as several national and international governing bodies of sport and state legislatures increasingly reject these unjust and inequitable policies that harm female athletes. They went on. LPGA policy does not explicitly state eligibility based on sex. It's essential for the integrity and fairness of women's golf to have a clear and consistent participation policy in place. All right. The difference between the sexes, female and male, that specifically affect our sport. And then it wasn't just opinion.
Uh-huh.
Here they said the male advantage in driving the ball is estimated around a 30% performance advantage.
Okay.
You may have noticed if you've ever been on a golf course that where the females tee off of is so many yards in front of
right. The
other tees.
Right.
Now, what's the reason for that? Because they don't have the same kind of strength.
Sure. Common sense.
And that's an enormous difference in the context of the sport. Anyway, they go on to say that even with testosterone suppression, there's no way to turn a male into a female. Being female is not equated to being male with a reduction in strength. So I thought they made their point very eloquently. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Lars from Marsh, you're on the air.
Marsh. Well, apparently they're going to have to change some of the course ratings. I'm a golfer myself, and I understand the reluctance of wanting to play along with someone else who's liable to shank their own balls. Thank you very much.
Oh, careful out there.
Hey, now, don't hurt yourself.
I guess as long as you wash them first.
Yeah. Well, they got a machine for that.
I know.
So, yeah.
Okay. So we're all clear?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All righty. It is 8:45 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Want to take the family to the Haunted Trail? It's a mile haunted hike. Goes to benefit Soldiers Freedom Outdoors. It's in the Keystone Melrose area. Well worth the drive. And it begins Thursday. It goes on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. For more info, go to soldiersfreedomoutdoors.org. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Florence Recycling. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:51. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You can download the Bob Rose Show in podcast form wherever you normally download your podcast. Just click subscribe. And yes, you're welcome.
Wow, so generous.
Migrant stories. We could do 10 of these every single day at least. I'll give you one because it is thoroughly disgusting in itself. A migrant accused of possessing child sexual abuse material depicting young boys, one as young as 5, according to Miami-Dade police. Dario Jose Calapanferius, 26-year-old migrant with 2 Immigration and Customs Enforcement holds, has been arrested and charged with 3 counts of possessing child sexual abuse material. He allegedly had footage of the abuse on his personal Facebook account. It depicts 3 boys, 2 between the ages of 5 and 7, and another between the ages of 10 being abused sexually.
Wow.
Yeah. Calipafarius, at the time of his arrest, was living near the Cutler Ridge Elementary School.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. In Cutler Bay, Florida. About 45,000 residents there. The migrant is being held at the Turner Guilford Knight Correctional Center. It's unknown when he first arrived in the U.S. and what his immigration status was or is still in question.
Mm.
Isn't that nice? And like,
yeah.
I said, we could do one of those stories every day. Maybe people are finally, maybe they finally had enough. A bipartisan group of legislators in New York City is demanding that embattled Mayor Eric Adams launch an effort to remove gang members from the city's migrant shelters as a matter of urgent public safety. Now, is it because they're a threat to the people in general, or they're a threat to the other migrants?
Wow.
Yeah. It's become evident that foreign-based criminal organizations like the Tren de Aragua have been using taxpayer-funded shelters across the city as a base for their illicit activities, which include organized theft, robbery, assaults, sex trafficking, and in some cases, murder. I don't know if you heard earlier, I did a story on this, where this gang is considered to be like MS-13 on steroids, and that they are organized from the ground up, and that they send their leaders back in Venezuela. They send them money. What do you think the leaders then do? Send them more drugs, more women that could be subjugated to sex trafficking and all that. And yet New York City was one of the areas. There was 10 cities, you know, six of them pretty major cities like Chicago, Miami, three in Texas.
That could be disruptive during an election season.
Where they have a foothold big enough to where it can be measured by, you know, agencies that say, yeah,
that should be a problem.
They're here.
That should be a problem.
This is supported by numerous news reports, victim and witness accounts, and NYPD data that show spikes in these criminal patterns in neighborhoods near migrant shelters. Unfortunately, due to the confluence of recent criminal justice reforms and the sanctuary city laws in the city and state, these foreign national criminals have been operating with impunity.
Imagine that.
They brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
They brought it on themselves by going, we're a sanctuary city. And I remember Eric Adams running around how proud he was of that.
Oh, yes, he was.
Until the migrants came to use his city for sanctuary. Sanctuary from the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got what they deserved, didn't they?
Well, I hate to say it that way, but
you asked for it?
Yes.
Literally.
You asked for it.
Literally.
Now you own it.
Yeah.
And it is really, it's creating havoc. And it... I mean, really, I don't say they deserve it because you know what? I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I mean, Eric Adams should, yeah.
Yeah, the public doesn't deserve it.
No, the public doesn't. You know, and think about if you had to live in that area and you've got, you know, mothers, wives, daughters.
Oh, no.
I mean.
And we've looked at pictures of some of these people. They're scary.
They ain't
really
pretty.
Really scary.
They ain't pretty.
You need to protect yourself. Seriously.
Yeah, like a full body prophylactic if you even come in contact with.
Well, there's that part too.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wear a mask because you're afraid of COVID, you, I don't know what you do around these people. Wrap yourself in cellophane, I guess. No, don't do that. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. You're listening to News Talk 97.3 The Sky.